ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Ian Baker-Finch, a former British Open champion, now chair of the Australian PGA. Great to have you on board here at Royal Queensland. But unfortunately, we're not seeing Cam Smith this weekend. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well. Thanks, Quentin. Good to be with you. Oh. Yeah, it's a shame we don't have to. He really, really wants to win here. He would love to have won here. He comes in, he does everything he can for the kids. He's great with the kids. He's like the Australian Ricky Fowler. He has done immense amount of created immense amount of popularity for the tournament, and unfortunately he's not here for the weekend, shooting a couple over par.
Now, I mean, you more than any could empathise with a guy that's struggling with parts of his game. Mm-hmm. I'm just wondering, the difference between what you experience with your putting and then a guy like Cam, who's had a change of his professional structure, mm-hmm. is used to being in the last couple of groups at majors and then goes through a calendar year not making any cuts at the four majors.
Yeah, I don't know whether it's that big a deal as far as you mentioned before, the yips. I don't think it's that problem. You know, you don't shoot two over par around a difficult golf course if you've got that big a problem. I just think he's not as fine-tuned as he was. Maybe he's running on 91 instead of 98 fuel. You know what I mean? It's not that far off. It's the occasional shot at the wrong time. Is it apprehension with his putting or chipping? I don't think it's that so much. It's just he's just not firing on all cylinders.
And I'll play cynic because this is what some of the general sports fans say. It's like, well, he's got a lifetime's worth of money out of LIV, so does he still have the drive?
That's an interesting one. A lot of people will say that. I think one of the hardest things for him was when he did go to LIV, he lost his happy place, which was the practice facility at the TPC in Jacksonville, where he lives. You know, he would just go out there and immerse himself in his practice for 8 hours at a time. It was right near where he lived. It was a spectacular practice facility. And once he left the PGA Tour, he also had to leave there. So he's been floundering around a little bit, finding a place to a facility to replace that facility, if you will. And he's invested in a golf course over there. He's going to redo a little bit. Good for the kids in the area too, the initiatives he wants to create there. So I said to him last night when I was speaking, actually yesterday morning I was speaking to him as well, and I said, mate, you don't lose talent. You haven't lost it. You don't hide it. It's there. You'll find it. Don't get down on yourself like I did for a year or so, where you sort of delve into every aspect of the game to try and find something that you really haven't lost. It's just hidden somewhere. It's underneath a piece of paper. And I think you'll be back.
As much as we're here at the Australian PGA, mm-hmm. I want to talk about next week, mm-hmm. because it's been a tough time for our National Open. The bringing together of the women and men's Australian Open didn't work, and it wasn't very well received by the players. Yet you break out of that by saying, let's go to our best golf course and being one of the biggest names in the world to Australia. Is this the rebirth of the Australian Open next week?
Well, it's going to be one of the great events in our in the last couple of decades, isn't it? Or even since the heady days of the Norman era, when Tom Watson came out and played and various others through that time. Royal Melbourne is the preeminent course in Australia. There's so many great golf courses in the Sandbelt, Kingston Heath, Metro, Huntingdale, Yarra, Commonwealth, I could name them all. It's PK. It's Royal Melbourne is at times the best course in the world, certainly the best known venue in Australia, always ranked in the top 10 courses in the world. And then when you get the needle mover, Rory McIlroy, coming back to play, you've got best of both worlds, haven't you? So I think it's a huge shot in the arm for us here in our Summer of Golf in Australia to have the biggest event on the stage here at the BMW Australian PGA, here at RQ again for the fifth year. It's been a spectacular event. Thanks to RQ for everything you do for us. But then going down to Royal Melbourne next week, great field. All of the young players that are here this week from the DP World Tour will be there as well in support. But Rory, as I said, he's the needle mover. He's the one that's going to create that. Well, he has created that excitement. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to get back.
You're hearing from Ian Baker-Finch on Summer Grandstand on ABC Sport with Quentin Hull. Now, I mean, sport in a number of aspects can't stay still, but at the same time, you need to know what makes it special. I'm wondering, in that context, what's golf in Australia learned by the failed experiment with the National Opens?
Oh, I wouldn't say it was a failed experiment. It was just, it's a difficult date because we are the start of the DP World Tour's 26th season. So all of the players come from the DP World Tour. They've just finished last week the 25 season. And then we start off the 26th season down here on great golf courses in great weather. It's minus 10 in London today. No wonder they all came down here. But it's, mind you, the weather hasn't been so cooperative for us this weekend.
Did you swim your way here? Because it's so thick out there.
It is pretty thick, isn't it? It is steamy. But it wasn't failed so much as it was just a poor date. The young ladies had to come back from the US. Their final event of the season was the weekend before. They couldn't get back till the Wednesday to then play in their national open here in Australia. And then when we did have it at Victoria and Kingston Heath, we had to then somehow fit both fields into the one course on the weekend, which sort of tested how many could make the cut, how many could we get around, how successful could we make it. It was a good experiment. It was one that we learned, I thought, in the first year that it wasn't going to work because of the difficulty in integrating both fields and both styles of golf, if you will, in a lot of ways, different tees, etc. And the good part of it was we got to see all of the best women in the world and the best men competing against each other. So that was a good thing. But it was just too difficult to get the best field in men and the best field in women. And it sort of took a little bit away, took a little bit of shine off both events. I think both events are great events, especially the Aussie Open, one of the best in the world, as Augusta National and the RNA have shown by giving them spots in their tournament, the winner of the Aussie Open next week. And the Women's Open will now go to Adelaide, to Kionga, and it'll be its own special time in a good date. So it's worked out well for both.
Yeah, and we hope that the Women's Australian Open, which prior to COVID, which really hit bad, and the schedule as well, it's another conversation. Having worked on that event in Adelaide, it was very expensive to get basically the American Tour to Australia to get all those good players here at the start of their season. But it was always the best field in Australian golf, that Women's Australian Open. So let's hope things can work in that regard.
Yes, we have the best women in the world playing, Australian women. Hannah Green, Minji Lee, Gracie Kim, Steph Kuriaku. It's wonderful. The WPGA is doing so well here in Australia. So to have all of them back in a period where we have four tournaments on the WPGA schedule in a row in Australia, the Women's PGA Championship at Sanctuary Cove, a couple of tournaments that New South Wales Golf put on for the women the 2 weeks before. So we've got a whole month where the best players in the women's game will be in Australia.
It's the unmistakable voice of Ian Baker Finch with you on Summer Grandstand. And I was lucky enough to go along to the Greg Norman Medal presentation back on Tuesday night. And the two nominees were the two major winners from the year, Minji Lee and Gracie Kim. And Minji's picked that up for a fourth time. Why have we become so good at now producing female golfers on the world stage?
It's a hard answer. You know, you can give lots of reasons why you think there's, you know, what's in the mix. You know, how do you make the best cake? You know, we all put the same ingredients in, but you got to mix it up a little bit. You got to find that right mix.
So you've got grassroots and then obviously the legacy of Kari Webb, and those, I'm assuming, are the two major ingredients.
That's the first one. Best player in women's golf was Kari Webb. Best player in Australian golf ever, Kari Webb. She has created, like Greg Norman did when he was the best player in the world, this group of youngsters that came through, like Jeff Ogilvie, Adam Scott, etc., Robert Allenby, Stuart Appleby, blah, 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 all the guys that are now playing Champions Tour. She was the guiding light. But we also have the Institutes of Sport. We also have Golf Australia and their high performance program for both the men and the women. Great coaching. The PGA professionals that coach the young players coming through the game are exceptional. Richie Smith, who coaches both Minji and Hannah and Min Woo and others.
The West Ryan Australian Peake. Contingent.
Yeah, he's just one of the... he's our best coach the last handful of years, but one of the best coaches in the world. So that's been a big part of it as well. And then success breeds success. If one or two of them do well, it was like back in my era, you know, Greg did well. We thought, well, we should do well. Wayne Grady won a major. I said, well, if he can win one, I can win one. And I think that's what has happened. You know, Minji won, Hannah won, Minji won again. Gracie Kim comes in and she's so young. And what a way she won in style, didn't she? Yeah. Chipping in and then holding that putt. And out of nowhere, now she's a major winner. Steph Koriyaku will follow, and as I said, there's many Cassie Porter. They won the international crown as well. All of the best women teams in the world fought it out, and Australia won. So it's exciting times, isn't it, when you think about how good we are. We tend to know the men a little better because there's more tournaments on TV for people to watch, and you see the men woos. And, you know, Ryan Fox from New Zealand, he won a couple of times in the PGA this year. Koala Carl, he won as well. It's good to see him win a first time. Great. So we're in a good place.
You've had a change of tack in life, which I'm going to get to in a moment, but I just want to do a little bit of housekeeping around your job as the chair of the PGA of Australia. Where are we playing this tournament next year? Because Royal Queensland's undergoing the Olympic renovations.
Yeah, well, we're currently working through the future of the BMW Australian PGA Championship for next year and really for the next 3 years, because RQ, as much as we'd love to stay at the one venue, and I mentioned before, Royal Queensland has been a tremendous partner and produces such a beautiful golf course every year. The championship's grown from strength to strength in that 5 years. We'd love to stay here on that green and gold pathway, on that runway into the Olympics in 32. But they want to redo their course. Jeff Ogilvie and his group, Mike Cocking, Ashley Mead, are going to do a little redo here, regrass, you know, polish it up a little bit in time. So we have to take it somewhere else. We'd love to stay in Queensland, but we also have the opportunity perhaps to take it interstate and play it somewhere different.
Yeah, this is interesting because essentially for nearly three decades, it's been Queensland's event. It came here and Robert Allenby won one of his, four PGA wins here. I think he won the Triple Crown that year, didn't he, at RQ, before we then went to Coolum, which became home until Clive Palmer, and interesting things went through there. Like the great stories of the dinosaur on the course at the end. I mean, I think John Daly's putter, which got chucked into the lake, is still in the clubhouse there at Coolum. And then down to Pines, which got redone.
Yes.
And we saw the Green Jacket Tour there when Adam Scott came back, having won the Masters and won there, and then back to RQ. So it's been a Queensland story. It feels like the PGA is this part of the world, but we might not be here next year.
Well, we're not sure. We just want to improve that escalation that we've created over those years that you mentioned, and certainly the 5 years here at Royal Queensland. We're the largest tournament on the tour this year. The only tournament bigger, obviously, is the LIV, where they can just throw $1 billion at nothing. They're giving away free beer on the corner. So this is $2.5 million this week. It'll be $3 million next year. We want to continue that growth. And we don't want to necessarily step back to where we were before. We want to keep that momentum going and certainly be back here for that runway, that into 32 Olympics.
There's a text here from Mark from Caringbah who texts, why does Sydney seem to be getting snubbed for major golf events in recent times, given that Sydney is Australia's number one tourist destination and has better summer weather than both Melbourne and Brisbane and has five courses close to the airport and city, which have hosted major tournaments? Thank you. Thank you for that text, Mark. So I'll forward that to...
Well, they haven't been snubbed. Mm. You know, it's a matter of... they do have the New South Wales Open every year, which is one of the bigger tournaments. They have two or three women's event on the WPGA. They're spending a lot of money, $3 or $4 million every year into professional golf in Sydney and New South Wales. So it's really just getting an event of stature. We believe we have built the PGA Championship into that special event. We're innovative. We create young crowds. We have something going on for the kids all week. And if it means that for a while we do need to take it somewhere else, there's some great golf.
When will
in
we
New
know?
South Wales.
When will we know?
When we know.
How long away is that, Ian?
As soon as possible. Because we really want to activate and commercialise and continue this spectacular growth of the tournament. You know, we have, as you said, and as Tex said, so many great golf courses. We've got the Lakes, the Australian, Royal Sydney, just right there, haven't we? So there's some great golf in New South Wales if it does happen to move.
And as you know, with the Masters no longer a part of the Australian Summer of Golf for the men, I think the Australian PGA and the growth of the tournament has been really important to ensure we have two strong tournaments, because we used to have the three, didn't we? Can we talk about you for a minute?
Do we have to?
Yeah, we do. Like those golden tonsils are going to be lost to golf viewers. You're retiring from commentary. Mm-hmm. You've retired, Ian. How tough a decision was that?
It was difficult, and it took me a couple of years from when I first started thinking about it. But I'm 101% happy with my decision. It's only been 4 months, 5 months, or whatever, since I decided, but I'd been doing it a long time. When you consider where I played and then started doing TV, some tournaments I'd been there for more than 40 years. And at 65 now, I've got grandkids, another one on the way next week. Just more to do. Thank you very much. Yeah, looking forward. Laura's having her first. Hayley's already got two.
Here's a weird question, but I think you'll get the context of it. Those that follow the game know of your legacy because you won a major championship, you won a lot of tournaments around the world. You are, to golf fans, Ian Baker Finch British Open champion, established to a professional. But is there a part of you that thinks that your commentary career almost matched your playing career, if not exceeded it? Because your voice has been the voice for Australian golf for two decades. And you know, there are others that have won British Opens who are Australian golfers, but we haven't had a voice go to the world the way that your voice has for golf.
I thank you for that very much. And it's been a long time. And I always say a comment to that, in that we all enjoy hearing a voice that we recognize, hopefully like, believe, trust. In any sport or any walk of life, I enjoy listening to Australian voices and commentators and personalities in other walks of life. So I know that's why people here have come to me and said, oh, we're really going to miss you. Because hopefully it's a comfortable, knowledgeable, trustworthy voice. And I'll continue to stay in touch with the Australian tournaments at home. Not in a paid capacity, just in a love capacity. I love the game. I love coming back and giving back. As I said the other night, it's my church, it's my charity, it's my love, passion. So to be able to do that is special for me, to stay in touch with all the players. I just spent half an hour with Jeff Ogilvy upstairs and Bree. It was just being able to walk into the players' room and be known and not thanked so much, but just be welcomed.
I bet you never thought, though, that once you finished playing, you thought, oh, this is a way for me to stay involved in the game, that you were about to create a new legacy. Maybe it was just a way for you to earn a dollar and stay close to the game, but you've done so much more than that, Ian, with your broadcasting career.
Thank you, because it started out where I was injured. I hadn't played well for a year and a half, hadn't made a cut for a year and a half. Came home to get injuries fixed and shoulders rehabbed and had my... Anyway, so much stuff going on. And I got an opportunity to work for all of the four networks at home and do television on Channel 2, 7, 9 and 10. Got to work with four different teams. You know what it's like. You got different producers, different sound guys, different teams to work with as the analyst. And all I did was I sat there and I talked golf. And my producer from the early days at ABC in the US called me and said, look, I hope you come back to playing, but if you don't, you have a job here. And that was really the sliding door to, oh, well, maybe if I don't play well again, which I didn't, I've got a job, and a job that I know what I'm talking about because it's what I've done. I never did it thinking that this was going to be my job. I never thought I'd do anything else but play golf, and I've been very lucky.
I'll say this to you in all seriousness. You have become to golf what Richie Beno was for cricket.
Oh, that's four. Two.
He was the captain of Australia and a wonderful player. Oh. You won the British Open, the most treasured tournament in the game, and that beyond... have become the voice of a generation of supporters.
Thank you. That's very nice of you to say. And I adored Richie Beno, as we all did. As we all did. And, boy, he was loved. He was so great at everything he did. And as you say, people forgot that he was also a great cricketer and captain of Australia. You know, he was the guy in the cream jacket, you know, regaling us with stories. And, you know, he built that great commentary team. Yeah, he was amazing. So thanks for saying that. And I'll continue, hopefully, to be a voice that you'll hear, a trusted voice, you know, on a couple of the Aussie events when I'm home here each summer.
And I asked you just before coming on air, but could you share with our listeners, just because you've retired from work in the States, you're still going to be sharing your time living between Australia and the US?
Well, I can't afford the divorce because I have got three grandkids. So my wife wants to be obviously where the grandkids are. You know, you only get one chance at that. It's also good for a dad to, you know, have a bit of redemption time too with the grandkids. All the time I spend away from my own kids, it'll be good to throw the grandkids around the pool a little bit and have some fun. But I love coming home. I'll definitely spend at least 4 months here, hopefully six. I'll spend a lot of time in Melbourne because the Australian Golf Centre is right there at Sandringham across the road from Royal Melbourne. Spend a lot of time there as chair of the PGA, doing what I can, giving back, etc. And obviously, my love is golf, and I play a lot of golf on the world's best golf courses in the Sandbelt.
It's great to see you.
Thanks, Quentin.
The one thing, if this tournament does move, the scheduling will be easier. This tournament always gets mucked up by the weather this time of year, doesn't it?
It is that time of the year. But we're tied in to this time of the year, the you know, the end of November, early December, because it's the start of the DP World Tour season. And it just happens to be rainy season up here or storm season. We've had a couple of crackers, haven't we?
Yeah. And I asked you a couple of probing questions about the future of the tournament. Paul Munnings, the head of comms at Golf Australia, has just sent me a note saying we might have some good news soon. Oh, not about the tournament, about the the tournament near future, not long-term future.
You're putting words into his mouth.
Well, he's just sent me this note which says, might have some good news soon. I thought he was listening in when I was grilling you as to where the tournament's going to be next year. But so that was an impending announcement. I thought, no, it's just about the golf.
It does look like that storm's passed by, and I see people flooding back in. So if you're at home listening to ABC, make sure you get back out here to Royal Queensland and line the fairways, because we've got some of the best golfers in the world here playing at the BMW PGA.
Greg from Gympie, among a number of techs, says, great to hear Ian Baker Finch on the radio. Was a trainee pro at the Gympie Golf Club in the late 70s. He's from Gympie. So there you go.
Who was that?
Greg.
Oh, Greg.
Greg from Gympie.
Okay. G'day, Greg from Gympie.
Yeah. Thank you, Ian. I hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend. Always great to see you.
Great to be with you. Anytime you ask, I'm here.